Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So what's the purpose of prayer? Why do we pray, or what's happening when we pray? I was going to have everyone raise their hand, but I'd stand up here waiting for too long, so I just thought I'd come up with some possible answers that you might have given me. Like, we pray because we want something. We pray, what was that? A balloon, okay. Because we want something, boom. Or because we need something, maybe. We need something. Or we pray because we need comfort, or we're thanking God. But then we're asked to be persistent in our prayer, so we're supposed to, is it to remind God of what we want, I guess? Or is it like, are we manipulating God? I mean, I've felt that way when I'm praying sometime. I'm like, God, I love you so much, therefore you should give me what I'm going to pray for, right? Or God, please, 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 I'm begging God. I'm like manipulating him somehow. I'm persuading him somehow. But does that really make sense? Is that what we're doing when we're praying? Persuading God, motivating God, manipulating God? I mean, think about who God is according to the Bible. God knows everything. So do we really need to tell him what we need or what we want? Shouldn't he already know that? Are we informing God of something he doesn't already know, is what I'm getting at. When we pray, doesn't he already know what's in our hearts? So we don't need to necessarily tell him we love him in order for him to do something for us. And the idea that we're going to change his mind, it goes against what the Bible says, because in Hebrews it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what are we doing exactly? I mean, I still believe prayer works. Prayer is powerful and effective, it says in James chapter 5. And I think that prayer changes things, but I doubt that it's changing God. Because in Isaiah 55 that we read this morning, it says that whatever God wants to accomplish or purpose, that it's going to happen. Just like when it rains or when it snows, like things get watered, like it's going to get to where it needs to go. In the same way, when God wants something to happen, it's going to be accomplished. So the idea that I'm going to thwart his will, or that I'm going to make something happen that he didn't want to have happen in the first place, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What I think is actually happening in prayer is something is changed, but it's us. We are changed to be more Christ-like, to be more like God. And that as we pray, we become to have our desires and our will is changed to be more like God, so that when we pray something, we end up praying exactly for what God wants to have happen, and then 100% it's going to be done. Because whatever he wants to accomplish, he will accomplish. So I don't know if these all got handed out today, but I wrote down a bunch of scripture readings about how prayer changes us and how we become more Christ-like. I'm not going to have time to go over all of them, but if you got them, you can read them at home and just look into them. Or if you didn't pick one up, they're on the way outside as you leave. But I want to get to the first point, that a lot of what Scripture tells us is that we need to be changed. In Ezekiel chapter 36, it's one of these scriptures that I love, I go back to lots and lots of times. Ezekiel 36:26 says that, here we go, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God knows we need changed in our hearts. We need a brand new, a heart transplant. And one of the ways that he does this is through prayer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's another great example of this need for change. 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." There should be a change in our life. Now, sometimes it's a sudden change. You've probably heard someone that's a Christian that talks about how one day they were this way, and then when Jesus Christ came into their lives, they were completely another way. I love those stories. They're great. That's not really my story, though. my change has usually been a gradual change over a long time, but there's still a change. I can look back and say, I was once like this, but over a period of time, I'm now like this. There should be a change in our life when we come in contact with Jesus. And if you turn over the paper to being more Christ-like, this is what the change is, to be more like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John, not John chapter 1, but 1 John chapter 2, it says, this is how we know we are in him, in Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did, must walk as Jesus walked. So one of the ways that God changes us is he changes not only our minds or our desires, but he changes how we live. So we stop doing some of the bad stuff and we start doing more good stuff. Now, I think it's important to remember that becoming more Christ-like doesn't mean we're ever going to get to that final goal of being just like Jesus, and on this earth at least. We're not going to be sinless. We're still going to make mistakes and we're not going to be just like him, but that doesn't mean we're not striving to become more and more like him. Later on, it says in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We become more and more connected. Like we look to God's ways. We look to his desires for our life. In my devotion this morning that I read before I did church today, it was talking about how when we make quick decisions, usually it's like our habits plus whatever we want, and that's what we do. But that's not really, Christians, we have habits, but we want to start thinking more like, what does God want us to do instead of so much what we want to do? One of my favorite scriptures, though, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think this is a challenging scripture, but I think it's really good. It says, St. Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I mean, could you say that to somebody who's not a Christian yet, who's just interested in Jesus? Could you say, well, you follow me and you'll get to Jesus? Would you feel comfortable with that? I mean, if they did the things you did, said the things you said, would they get closer to Jesus or farther away from him? I think we can all be challenged by that. But it reminds us that just like we imitate Jesus, the reason we're doing that is to show other people what Jesus is like. Just like it says in Matthew 5, you are a city on a hill, you are a light to the world, that let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It says in 1 John chapter 2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So I'm going to turn back over to the first page and talk a little bit more about prayer. There are a couple of scriptures. Once you think about prayer not changing God's mind, but changing our minds or changing us, I think it really opens up scripture in a new way. One of these, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You've ever heard of St. Paul had this thorn in his flesh? Have you ever heard of this before? In chapter 12, in verse 7, it says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So we know that St. Paul wanted this gone. He wanted to get rid of it. He didn't like it. He didn't want this, whatever it was, thorn, a weakness of some sort. But God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He prayed three times and nothing happened. So what did he do? Well, he changed. This is what I love about the scripture passage. St. Paul changed because we know what he's going to do now. It says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So before he was saying he wanted to get rid of this thorn, and now he's like, you know what? If God's not taking it away from me, I'm going to boast about having it. He says, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I love that because that shows this change that's happening when we pray, that God starts reminding us that it's his will and not our will that needs to be done. Let's see, I'm going to I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that you can read here, but what I really wanted to get to was this in John chapter 14 today. This is what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Here's what I think most people think this means. Dearest Heavenly Father, I want to win the Powerball. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's like a little formula. God, I need a new car, make it a Corvette. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. But that's, and then when it doesn't happen, we say, well, I did the formula right. So either God messed up, or the Bible's wrong, because it says, say it in Jesus' name, or we say, oh, it must be my fault. I don't have enough faith. But I don't think we understand what it's saying at all. It's not a formula. It's not saying, if you say in Jesus' name at the end of every prayer, God has to answer you like some genie in a bottle. You know, you get three wishes. That's not how it works. The way you might understand this would be when my kids have to do something like for school or are on a team, something like this, we, and by we I mean Christy usually, gives them a little speech about saying, who do you represent? You represent your family, you represent your church, you represent your school, you know, you represent us. What she's trying to say is, you're going forth in my name, like in Brower's name. Whatever you do is going to reflect on us. You're going forward in the name of Nottoway Valley because you got their name a lot of times on your jersey. You're going forward in the name of our church because everybody knows where you go to church. whatever you do is reflecting back on everyone else. When you do things, make sure you're doing it with us in mind, you know, in our name. That's what we're saying. When you pray in Jesus' name, when you pray according to his desires, according to God's will, when you're focused on what God wants rather than what you want, well, then you find that your prayers are answered quickly because you're just asking God to do what he wants to do anyway. Because you have his desires and his mind in your heart and in your mind. Because remember, Isaiah 55 says, whatever God wants to happen is going to happen. So if you're praying for him to do what he already wants to do, well, that's easy. That's easy for him to accomplish. That's going to be done fast. So when you're praying, and I'm going to have to wrap up here, I think, today. I would encourage you to read through some of these other scriptures. But when you're praying to God, don't try to manipulate him. Don't try to persuade him or motivate him. He already loves you. He's already listening. He wants to do things that make you happy. Okay? But when you're praying, think about how God is changing you so that you are becoming more like Jesus. You're wanting to do the things that Jesus wants to do. So it's not all about you anymore. It's about God. You want to please him. You want to help other people. You want to make a difference in this world in his name. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, I pray that you would change us, change our hearts, change our minds to be more like you. Lord God, I pray that you would help our desires to be your desires, and that we do all things, including pray in your name, so that we might bring glory to you while we live on this earth. And we pray this in Jesus' name, according to your will.